Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Michael J. Crocodile Dundee.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's awesome. Just take a look around you. You just can't go wrong.
Everything's awesome.
The possibilities may astound you.
Very nice.
Hi, I'm Luke Ski.
I'm Carrie Dalby.
And this is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
I was going to make you do the intro this time.
Oh. Hi, this is Luke Ski with Carrie Dalby, and you're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, episode 37, March 23rd, 2011.
Sweet. So, that was that.
Yes. So, what's new in Carrie's life?
This is like an episode of the Funk Podcast.
Except I spent all day preparing for it.
Yeah. Went to Arizona. I just got back last night. My husband is still in Arizona, and he will not be back until Saturday. He's doing some work from home stuff there, so that's how he's getting away with that. So I left on Friday, and I... let's see, nothing of interest happened Friday. Saturday, we had an interesting day. After, like, kind of having the usual hang around his mom's, Josh's mom's house and, like, you know, have a nap and, like, you know, really interesting stuff like that. He got a text from his friend John Garvey stating that he was at the Pinal County Fair, and this was, like, right as we were getting up from our siesta, and I started doing the little bounce thing that indicates that I wanted to go to the fair. So, we got ready and we went out to the Pinal County Fair, and I've never been to a fair in March in all of my life ever, anywhere, ever, for any reason. So my first March fair, and so Josh and I went out there and I immediately enjoyed it. I stated it was better than the 5-star indoor swap mart. I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up. The fair definitely has more greasy food. We checked out, like, this art building, and there was these animals, like a Gila monster in a little box, and there was a skunk in a aquarium, and there was a big old scorpion and a rattlesnake, and then on some perches there was some owls and... Or there was one owl and two hawks or something like that. Or maybe two owls and one hawk. And it was cool to see all these animals. And we looked at all the, like, really funny kids' art. There was some really funny cakes, you know, like 4-H. Like,
yeah.
There was a 4-H, like, cake competition, but there was a theme, and the theme was ugly cakes. So you had, like, the litter box cake, the dad's hairy back cake, and stuff like that. And when I was in that building, I bought something for myself that I'll talk more about during the What Shade of Pink is Carrie Wearing. And then we had some foods. We had some barbecue ribs that came with beans and coleslaw, and the barbecue ribs are really good, the cherry barbecue sauce. And then we had what Josh was really looking forward to, a thing called Indian fry bread, which is like the fried food of choice at fairs in the Southwest, but I don't think you get it around here, but you can get very similar things, but it's basically just dough deep fried in lard. And it's like a pancake shape, but like parts of it puff out, and you either put powdered sugar on it, or you can put, like, you know, like beans and meat and, like, you know, rice and lettuce and make it like a burrito, or you can get mutton like John did. But we got it. We got one with cinnamon sugar, and it was tasty. And then later we watched a puppet show, and it was, and there was a ventriloquist, and it was all very silly. And we had some more Indian fry bread, and I had some corn, if I didn't already say that. And Josh dropped some of the Indian fry bread on the dusty ground, and it was like this moment where everything was in slow motion. It was like, no. And so he didn't get to finish his second piece of Indian fry bread. So that was the exciting thing that happened on Saturday. Sunday, me and Josh and the aforementioned friend John Garvey did a road trip to Flagstaff, Arizona. So that was really cool. I got to be on Route 66 for the first time in my life, although it was only for like 3 blocks. But I was still on it, damn it.
That's cool.
And we checked out some shops, and we had lunch. We had lunch there in downtown Flagstaff at a place that, after I heard them mention it, I was begging to try it. It was a place called Macy's, and it's a vegetarian food restaurant. So it was really funny because, you know, Josh had spent 4 years of his college career, like, you know, mocking and avoiding this hippie vegetarian restaurant, and now he's forced to go there because his wife wants to. And they have really, really good food.
Noodle stories.
Oh, you don't know what that is yet?
No.
It's something you'll hear on the Nerdist podcast eventually.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm behind on my podcasts. Way behind. Another cool thing we did there after lunch. Oh, and I bought something there that I'll talk about during What Shade of Pink is Carrie Wearing. But then we toured a hotel, the historic Hotel Monte Vista in Flagstaff. I kind of wanted to check it out because it was supposedly like overflowing with ghosts, but I didn't like see any ghosts or anything like that. But we weren't there for very long. We walked right by the sign that said, only registered guests may pass this point. Luckily, John was leading the way because me and Josh are both kind of goody-goodies, so I don't know that we would have gone up to check out the rooms otherwise. But every room is, like, totally... We could see, like, inside a lot of the different rooms because they were cleaning at the time, and I don't think very many people were staying there. And, like, all the different rooms are all different color motifs and different blankets and, like, red, this one's orange, this one's yellow, and this one's blue. And it was, like, it was really interesting in that way. It's so old that most of the rooms don't have their own... I don't think any of the rooms have their own bathroom. You have to go out in the hallway and use the bathroom in the... Like, each floor has one or two bathrooms. But also each door of the hotel in the Monte Vista, almost every door has a celebrity name on it of a celebrity that has stayed there, and like not just their name but like their picture.
Oh, wow.
I have this list helpfully pulled off of the interwebs. Mary Costigan, Bob Hope, Michael Stipe, Zane Grey, Bing Crosby, Michael J. Fox, Susie Sue, Esther Williams, George Babbitt, Air Supply, Barbara Stanwyck, John Bon Jovi, Gary Cooper, Debbie Reynolds, Alan Ladd, Robert Englund, Carol Lombard, Jane Russell, Lee Marvin, John Wayne, Freddie Mercury, Spencer Tracy, Walter Brennan, Clark Gable, Cornel Wilde, Humphrey Bogart, Anthony Hopkins, and Gene Tierney. And of course, the one that John and Josh was like, oh God, I wouldn't want to stay there, was Robert Englund, the star of Nightmare on Elm Street,
yes.
Freddy Krueger. So that was cool to walk around there, and then we did like a quick spin around the campus, Northern Arizona University, where Josh spent 4 years, and John also went there. Went to a really cool bookstore called Bookman's, where I got a book that I've been wanting to read for like a decade, and then we left again. It took like 3.5 hours to drive up there, and then we were only there for 2.5 hours. And then we drove back to visit some other friends. And not much happened on Monday other than rewatching Superbad and introducing my mother-in-law to Olive Garden. And so that was how that trip went. But the other thing that kind of happened, like, during that trip, before that trip, and possibly even before MarsCon, I'm not sure when I had my first one, but Starbucks has a new product out. Have you had any of this product?
No.
We've had a very similar product. It's called Cake Pops. It's like a popsicle, only it's cake on a stick. And basically it's, you know, as the, you know, the famed cake balls that have been mentioned many times in this podcast and in other places, it's basically a cake ball on a stick, and it's a, like, you know, a little bit large, you know, for a cake ball. And they have three flavors. The Rocky Road is the least good because it has, it's, even though it's chocolate, it has nuts in it, and I don't really like my, you know, I like nuts in general, but I don't really like my, you know, sweet baked goods to have nuts in them. I know you don't.
Yeah, George Carlin has this whole piece he wrote about how he can't stand nuts in cake.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like, you know, you're sitting there, it's all chewy, and then the chocolate's all great, and then here comes a nut.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it, you know, or like chocolate chip cookies or other things that people put nuts in. It's like, why did you put nuts in this delicious, sweet, goody thing? Well, I mean, I do like nuts in candy bars. That's different to me. But anyways, so I don't like the Rocky Road one, but the tiramisu one is like, I don't know. It's not, I thought it was, I don't know how to describe tiramisu other than it's tiramisu. And that one's amazing. And then the best one of all, which I thought would be the worst one, but was actually by far the best one, the pink birthday cake flavored cake pop. And it's like, you don't expect it to be good because, you know, I don't really go for white birthday cake with pink frosting, you know, like, it's not like, oh my God, give me some white birthday cake with pink frosting. It's so good. It's like, you know, an orgasm on a stick. It's like the most amazing thing I've ever put in my mouth. It tastes so freaking good. I cannot express to you how amazing these things are. And they seem to be very popular because they either have like a lot of them or none of them when I show up. And, you know, so yeah. So I don't think I'll ever lose another pound as long as cake pops continue to exist, but...
Well, I tend to not go to Starbucks, you know, unless...
I go to Starbucks a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm big anti-Starbucks guy. I've just never been a coffee person, and I typically only go there when other people are going there. I mean, if I had to choose a coffee place to go to, I typically would go to Caribou Coffee because I like their campfire mocha.
Yeah.
But if I find myself in the convenient vicinity of Starbucks, I will try to check out a cake pop and report back later in a future episode.
Yeah, the it's freaking incredible. It's so soft and buttery and, you know, just unbelievable. So yeah, like I said, I'm never losing any more weight, and I'm comfortable with that as long as cake pops continue to exist.
Okay.
So what's new in Luke's life?
Well, I had an interesting week because Sarah left, to go on a ski trip with her brother and his family. So I was at home by myself for a week, and, that was an interesting experience. it's like, wow, this is like me, this is like being single, except I'm in a house. That's like the whole house is mine instead of just the upper part of a house, you know, or the basement of a house or whatever. It's like the whole house is mine with the two kitty cats. So, you know, I worked on various things throughout the week. And before she left, Sarah went on a shopping expedition to make sure that there was food in the house so that I didn't have all my meals from fast food.
Yeah.
You know, both as a means to save money and you know, hopefully in some level be healthier or whatever. So, you know, I have bad eating habits and I really don't view myself as an overeater. It's more of a, I have bad eating habits. Like, I don't eat breakfast. I get up, do a bunch of stuff, wait until I'm physically hungry. Like, my stomach says, ow, I'm hurting now, eat something, and then I eat something, and then I work on more stuff, and then I don't eat again until, like, way late at night just before I go to bed, which is crap for metabolism, you know. So, anyway, the point is, I all the stuff that she got, I wrote down on one of my whiteboards as just kind of like a big menu list of, here's all the things at home I can eat, so that I could, you know, at various points during the day, stop, look at that list, and say, oh, okay, I should eat something. Here's what's available. I'll go to the kitchen and make it, you know, and then, you know, get it done. It's just, it's, I know it's bizarre that as a 37-year-old man needed to do something like that to make sure that I ate proper meals at home on a consistent basis over the course of a week, but hell, it helped me, and I think it might be a decent step towards helping me form better eating habits that could help me get a better metabolism, which might lead to me losing some weight, but I'll get into that possibly later in the show on another bullet point. So
okay. I have my own opinions, but we'll get into that later.
Okay.
If at all.
So Chris Hardwick came and performed over the past weekend, and I signed up at the Node to be on the Chicago Node Warrior Street team to help promote the show. And because of that, I was able to get a ticket in to see the show, and it was really cool, really funny. I don't think I've ever been in that Zanies before. I've been to the one out in the up in the north suburbs before in my life. I saw Henry Phillips out there, so this is the first time I've ever been to that. You know, the original, you know, Chicago downtown-ish Zanies. And I went there on Wednesday night, the day before St. Patrick's Day, and it was a packed house. And yeah. After the weekend was over...
I wanted to be there. I hadn't gone to Arizona yet, but I was at rehearsal.
Yeah. I wish you could have been there. It was a funny show.
Yeah, I wanted to be there.
And so I found out after the weekend, Chris reported on, I think it was his Twitter... Oh, crap. Hold on. Okay, continuing. All his shows over the weekend sold out, is the point.
Yeah.
So apparently the Node Warrior Street team did its job to make sure Chris got a packed house. I hope that I contributed to that somehow, because nobody reported to me that they were going to go see his show having heard me plug his show.
Yeah.
So I hope I had an effect somehow and that I was part of all that. And I got to, you know, say hi to him briefly after the show, and he autographed my Hard and Firm CD and stuff. I got a picture with him, too, which I put on Facebook.
And
so.
Who introduced you to Chris Hardwick's podcast?
You did.
Okay.
Yeah, just Chris Hardwick is like, I'd kind of been, you know, vaguely aware of him and of Hard and Firm, you know. But,
somewhere in your periphery.
Yeah, somewhere in the periphery of my whole dementia scene thing, but not being... you know, living in Los Angeles and, you know, having, you know, my finger on the pulse of the L.A. comedy scene over the past 10 years, you know, I wasn't quite sure what the full deal was with Chris or Mike Furman or Hard and Firm, etc. I know they performed at Grant's Board Tour back in 2007, but basically it wasn't until Nerdist started blowing up big on Twitter, which got Carrie's attention, and Carrie's always looking for new podcasts to listen to that are awesome. And
I actually saw it on iTunes the same way I saw Flat 29.
Ah, cool. So about 10 episodes in, I started listening after Carrie badgered me. It was while I was painting the house, while I was painting the room we are actually in. I had downloaded all the 10 episodes that were up to that point, and I just was listening to them back to back, and it was, like, incredibly awesome. So there are recent episodes that have Will Wheaton. The Will Wheaton one is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. I just got done with that one recently.
Yeah, so there's John Oliver from The Daily Show.
I really enjoy the ones where they don't have any guests, too.
Yeah, the hostful episodes.
Podcasts.
So, yeah. So please check out the Nerdist podcast and follow Nerdist on Twitter at Nerdist and stuff like that. So, and he also went to C2E2 to interview Eliza Dushku and Hilo. I forgot the guy's name. Temo Pinkett, I think. I'm not sure if that's the correct way to pronounce it. But anyway, but I wasn't there for that. C2E2, which is the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, I think. There's mm-hmm. two C's and two E's, hence mm-hmm. C2E2.
Yes.
I was not there for Friday or Saturday. Patton Oswalt did a show, headlined a Comedy Death Ray show there with Dan Telfer, who I had seen open for him at the Lakeshore Theater back when that still existed. And I'm really bummed that I missed that show, because Dan Telfer is awesome. Patton, of course, is, you know, the shiznit. And also, I didn't get to go to his book signing either, because I had a caricature gig out in Elkhorn, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So if I had gone to the book signing or book reading or whatever it was, I would have been able to have been there only for the maybe first 30 to 45 minutes, and then I would have had to jump in my car and drive to Elkhorn, Wisconsin, and fight through, just because, like, you know, there's no such thing as rush hour traffic, and then get there by 6 p.m. So I basically had to just completely bail on the idea of going to the book signing. So, yeah. Oh well, not the end of the world. But yeah, I did a couple of caricature gigs this weekend, some of which made my hair stand on end. And I'm not going to get into it because it would take too long. But
and we don't want to commemorate bad memories.
Exactly. Thank you, Carrie. Well, other than telling individual ignorant stories that are kind of quick bursts
of... We like
of,
to tell things yeah. that are amusing or unbelievable.
So Sarah and I did go to C2E2 on Sunday, ran into Jared Perez there, which was cool, and we basically just checked the place out because C2E2 kind of popped up out of nowhere over the past couple of years. I know some of my friends had been to it and exhibited at it,
and others of us have never been to it ever.
Well, it just started. Yeah. I mean, this is either its...
I think it's its third year.
Third year, yeah. And it's run by the same company that does New York Comic Con, PAX East, Star Wars Celebration, and a bunch of other conventions. So I will be contacting them about potentially putting on comedy music shows featuring me and maybe others, for next year.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that pans out at all. But nonetheless, Sarah and I walked around. We went to Artist Alley. We met some cool people. I met artist James Silvani. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Yeah, James Silvani, who is the artist drawing the Darkwing Duck 4 issue reboot that happened a few months ago, which is now available as a trade paperback, which I picked up, and he autographed and he drew Darkwing on it, and he did a little bookmark for me that he drew Megavolt on, which is really cool.
And before that, didn't Jared Perez have him to recreate
The day before, Jared Perez met him and asked him to, because he has a bunch of demo sketches of kind of nifty crossover concept things.
Yeah.
And he said, well, could you draw one of Stitch as Wolverine?
Yeah.
So Jared had him draw that, and then he took a picture of it and put it on Twitter. So yeah. I came up to him the next day and I told him, well, I'm the one that inspired that, and I told him about Marvel Poppins and stuff. So I have since emailed James the link to the Marvel Poppins video. So, anyway.
He drew one of my cartoon crushes.
the 4-issue thing, if you're a Darkwing Duck fan, you should definitely check it out. And supposedly, there's a second 4-issue Darkwing Duck special thing that will be coming out as a trade paperback in the near future. So,
yeah.
I'm psyched about that. I found out there's a whole trivia thing in the back of, not really a trivia thing, just an article about the creation of Darkwing Duck itself. And apparently, they were trying to... The initial concept behind it was to make it more of a James Bond kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So the original working title of the show was 00 Duck.
Yeah.
And then they found
out... I think I've heard that before.
Yeah. And then they found out that they couldn't call it that because Ian Fleming owns, like, the copyright on the phrase 00.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, anyway. I also picked up a trade paperback of... The Muppets have been kind of brought into the comic book world of late, and this one female artist whose name I can't remember right now, it's Amy something, drew this 4-issue, I think it was, series called Muppet Sherlock Holmes, with Gonzo as Holmes and Fozzie as Watson and other characters as other characters. And she was only selling it for $10. I'm like, okay, goddamn, I got to get that. And,
yeah.
And she drew it. She drew a little picture of Gonzo for me on a bookmark. So,
aww.
That was sweet. And then Sarah picked up some stuff too. I just kind of milled around, you know, checking things out. It's crossed my mind to get an Artist Alley table at a place like Wizard World Chicago. I looked it up and I found out that it would cost $300.
Yeah.
And I don't know, at least this year, I wouldn't want to risk that much money.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe I'll do that in a future year. Maybe I'll try doing it at C2E2. I have no idea what their rates are. But it would be neat to get my art stuff organized so that I could have a table that was both about my art and about my comedy music.
Yeah.
So, anyway, ponderances for the future, I guess.
Is it time for our first song?
It's time for our first song. The aforementioned Chris Hardwick, teaming up with Mike Furman to become Hard and Firm, put out a CD back in 2005 called Horses and Grasses.
Let me double check
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah. Yep. That was okay. What it was.
And it's actually, I think, out of print, because I know sometime in the past 6 months I went to order it and they had it at CD Baby. Then I went to order it again recently and it was no longer on CD Baby. I had to find it used on Amazon.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it might be available digitally through CD Baby still. Oh, look, it's snowing outside. Pretty!
Yay.
I still think snow is pretty.
Yeah, well, you don't have to drive
in it. People in Minneapolis hearing me say that are strangling me virtually with their minds right now.
I still have to go home tonight.
And I'm sure it won't be that bad. It's just barely starting right now.
Anyway.
So, yeah, so they had an awesome album. They had a Comedy Central special. And me being a person who loved dinosaurs since the early 80s, before anybody gave a crap about dinosaurs, they have a song called American Dinosaurs. So I wanted to play that right now. So here it is, Hard and Firm with American Dinosaurs.
On Luke and Carrie's Bad Report.
Woo!
This song is about patriotism.
American pride, step up to serve your country hundreds of years after you die. Well, they say that you were greenish, but I reckon that ain't true. If you trod upon the heartland, you must have been red, white, and blue. Head so high, gonna bite the sky. Soil where you bled, our nation's finest resource. I guess Noah had a reason for keeping you off the ark, 'cause he knew you'd burrow in the earth and fuel American cars. And I think about your sacrifice as the power of my rig. Chosen lizards of this land, you're just so goddamn big. So fight on, faithful Azores, at the gates of the Alamo, while Diplodocus makes angels in the pure Montana snow. Tyrannosaurs visit Graceland, over Raptors, ADC, Ichthyosaurs play swim up blackjack in the Nevada's desert sea. A carbon date with destiny. Shedding glory on Iraq. Take back what is rightfully yours. American dinosaurs. Miss all heroic patrols wars. Over hills and on the plains. God bless you. People are your dinosaurs.
Alrighty. So we had in a voice message. I won't play it, but we had a voice message from Breakman Z asking for a song origin for me, which is the song "Murder Was the Play."
We're not going to play it at all. We can play it later if it's not too long.
Well, we could play it, but it would be him saying, "Hi, Breakman Z, etc." Song origins, "Murder Was the Play."
I saw him talking on like his Facebook or Twitter or something.
He left two messages.
Oh, okay.
So I'll play the.
So we get his voice in there. So.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Toil. Hand job.
Yes.
Honey mustard.
You're going to have to start talking again, or I'm
waiting for you to say non-smoking double.
Oh, I forget that one. Sorry.
Everybody forgets that one. It's the lost thing that the tile guy says that no one ever says, ever. Because it's the least exciting.
You can call this episode non-smoking double.
If somebody were to walk up to me on the street and said, "Hi, would you like some honey mustard? Would you like a free non-smoking double room?" I would take the room. Because you could, you know, there's a TV in it and you could probably watch shows. Anyway, "Murder Was the Play." So, "Murder Was the Play," which is a parody of the Snoop Doggy Dogg song "Murder Was the Case." The thing that made me want to do a parody of "Murder Was the Case" about Hamlet is that the plot of the song "Murder Was the Case" kind of draws a parallel to Hamlet in that there's I should have listened to it again to remind myself, but basically the lead character speaking, you know, in the song "Murder Was the Case," you know, is in a drive-by shooting or something, and you know, basically, you know, especially if you see the music video, has a vision of like him being approached by some otherworldly spirit, and whether or not the spirit is a good spirit or a bad spirit isn't exactly clear, but basically, you know, the spirit, you know, offers to help him or whatever, and then the guy doesn't die and continues on with his life, you know, to what positive ends or negative ends, we're not entirely sure. At least that's the best I'm remembering it without having looked it up earlier today to remind myself. Oh, yeah. Anyway.
How dare you spend less than 5 hours preparing for the podcast?
Yes. So basically, looking at that kind of storyline laid out, it's like, well, that's similar to Hamlet. You know, Hamlet's got things messed up in his life, and then his father comes to him as a ghost and says, you know, blah, 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 heinous stuff happened, I was murdered, you know, it was my brother, you know, and then Hamlet sets off on this mission to figure out, you know, is that true or not, and then, you know, the ghost keeps coming back to him to, you know, keep him on that path, and then, you know, things end up poorly in the end, as it happens in most Shakespearean tragedies. So,
or lives.
Yeah. So basically it was me drawing the parallel between Hamlet and the plot of the song "Murder Was the Case" that made me want to go that route. And thank goodness, Daniel Robinson was willing to, take a shot at doing the background track so that song could come into existence, because Daniel Robinson back in 1996 or 97, wasn't always willing to do songs. When I came to him with ideas, sometimes he would just say, no, he either didn't want to do it, or he felt he couldn't do it with the technology and talent he had at his disposal,
mm-hmm.
you know, at least for the amount of money I was paying him. So that kind of explains a whole lot of the "You Pick Luke's Fump" songs that never got made, you know, or at least some degree of them. You know, and other things like Snoopy the Dog and It's Good to Be the King and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the story behind that. I like that song because I kind of it can easily be considered filk because it is, you know, a comedy or, you know, a funny parody song about a piece of literature. So, you know, it's kind of like I can, you know, tout that as being like, yes, this qualifies as filk, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So, having brought that up today, it brought me my mind back to the whole concept of forced parodies, which I've talked about before on the show, but give you a quick recap of what I call a forced parody, is the thing in comedy music where there's a song that's very popular and also another thing in pop culture that's very popular, and some person who most likely works for a morning radio DJ, you know, drive time zoo type of show, has to come up with a song and put, you know, these two ideas together, whether or not they make any sense to go together. So,
I'd be saying more, but I'm having yawn fits.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I know this is kind of a little bit dated to the past year, but it's like, you know, what's really popular? California Girls. Okay. What else is really popular? Twilight, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's like, we got to do a song, California Werewolves, you know, or California Vampires. And, you know, whether or not that makes any sense, I'm going to force these two ideas together and make a song because we need something to play, you know, every morning, 5 days a week, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, lots of acts have made forced parodies, including myself. So, after I got everything else done for this episode, after I got everything else prepped for this episode, I went through my CD library, scanning the titles to make lists of the forced parodies that I've done so that I could give you all a brief glimpse into it. So, to kind of, you know, give you the flip side, when it comes to doing parodies, what I consider to be the way parodies should be done, like, you know, optimal way, what to look for in a parody that, you know, or I should probably have written this down so I wouldn't be tripping all over my words. Okay, there's three things. One is the most obvious one, which is wordplay. Punning or other wordplay that is clever. So, beat it becomes eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Easiest thing in the world to explain.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the hook of the crux of the concept of the joke of the whatever comes from is that pun, and then everything builds off of that. So the other thing is kind of a two-pronged thing, and that's either drawing parallels, it's parallels or perpendiculars, or to put it another way, sames or opposites.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either draw a parallel between two things, like, you know, me taking, stealing like a hobbit, which is, you know, crappy for wordplay, but the story of the song, Eminem's dysfunctional relationship with his mother, and paralleling it with, Frodo's dysfunctional relationship with Gollum, and then how I was able to tie in other parallels with other Eminem songs to make it kind of a three-song attack. You know, that's, you know, what I'm talking about. But then, you know, there's also going complete opposites by doing something like Weird Al's You're Pitiful.
Yeah.
Except, it's you're beautiful, which is all positive, and then saying you're pitiful, which is negative. There's also wordplay there too, obviously. But,
yeah.
You know, it's like you're satirizing it by either drawing a parallel, saying something's the same, or drawing a perpendicular, saying doing something that's opposite to, you know, both are satire because you've put thought and effort into it. Those are the three things. So I went through my library really quick, trying to find the songs that don't fall into those categories of those three things that if I was having a debate with myself, I couldn't mount a decent argument with myself on, these are all forced parodies.
Yeah.
And they aren't all bad. They just, you know, are forced parodies. So, unfortunately, all of these pretty much happened in 2005 or earlier. So at some point, something in my brain settled in a mode where I kind of figured out what not to do.
Yeah.
So, but there's only, you know, about 10 or so songs on this page anyway. So, kind of mentioning in sort of chronological order, the ones that I consider definitely forced parodies, Funny Man, which was a parody of What a Man by Salt-N-Pepa and En Vogue, and
Salt and Pepper.
Pepper and En Vogue. And don't forget Spinderella as well. And Funny Man was a song about comedy and comedians and stuff like that, you know, trying to be like, hey, I'm, you know, a really good comedian and women like me because of that. And it just didn't, I don't know. Dr. Demento liked this song for some reason. He played it a couple of times.
Well, he likes comedians.
Yeah. I know that there were a couple, I think the reason why I thought this was a good idea at the time is because of some individual kind of wordplay moments within the lyrics themselves that I thought were clever, but...
And speaking of Dr. Demento...
Speaking of Dr. Demento, I really wanted to do a song, you know, about Dr. Demento and his show because in 95, 96, having been finally able to hear the show every week, I was so into it. I was so into it. Mm-hmm. It was my life. It was, you know, screw college, screw everything else. Being into Dr. Demento, like... took over my freaking life.
That's how Rocky Horror was for me in college.
I mean, I think that may be... I'm trying to think. Okay, I went to college 93, summer of 93, summer of 94, summer of 95 was the first summer I did not come home and get a job at home. I stayed in Kansas City, and it was probably because I had found the Dr. Demento show, and I didn't want to leave Kansas City and not be able to hear the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a game changer for me in my life. Anyway, so I want to do a song about Dr. Demento, and for some reason I thought the best idea out there was for me to do a parody of the Beastie Boys song Rhymin' and Stealin' about the Dr. Demento show and his demented newsman, Whimsical Will. Hence, the song was The Doctor and William. So, Rhymin' and Stealin', The Doctor and William, there's no way you could have looked at those two titles and figured out that one was meant to be a parody of the other.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's again, not overall not a bad song, just kind of like me forcing one idea into another. You know, it wasn't the most horrible thing ever, but it's kind of like, you know, fast forward to many years later and I'm doing a song like Dementia Revolution, which was an original, which is probably what I should have been trying to do to begin with.
Yeah. But,
anyway, next is a parody of the song Basket Case by Green Day about Star Trek. The original title was Star Trek Case, which was a dumb title to call it. I later sort of retitled it Trekkie Case, which is slightly better, but still, it's me trying to force a Star Trek song out of this popular Green Day song.
Yeah.
I think the only real parallel with the lyrics was... kind of like, you know, sometimes I give myself the creeps, you know, becoming, you know, sometimes I give you all the creeps, you know, so
yeah.
There was a little bit of a parallel in there, but, you know.
Not much.
Kramer Costanza, which is a parody of the Beastie Boys song Intergalactic, which I did about Seinfeld. And, yeah, that was definitely, like, I really wanted to parody Intergalactic, and I really wanted there to be a song about Seinfeld. I managed to figure out how to put these two ideas together. I think the song came out pretty darn good.
Yeah, I like that song.
I think musically, this may sound odd, but sometime after that song came out and that album came out, I did a kind of short parody of, I kind of took the music and redid it in a shorter fashion for a radio show called Nummy Muffin Cocoa Butter that did comedy songs from a college station in the South.
Yeah.
And that remake, little short version, actually I felt sounded more like Intergalactic than Kramer Costanza does.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's obviously not something I'm going to make the effort to remake because it wasn't a hit, and who gives a crap about Seinfeld, the sitcom, anymore too much. But anyway... So that's a forced parody that where the end result, I still felt had enough value to put it on the Greatest Hits Volume 1 2 CD set.
Yeah.
Men in Black, Klaatu Barada Nikto, which is a parody of Where It's At by Beck. And here's the thing, Where It's At by Beck, it's hard to even say what that song is about. It's, you know, we're talking about Beck here. It's,
yeah,
he's kind of weird and all over the place. So it's kind of hard to draw parallels to something that you don't know what the hell it is anyway. And I just felt like I wanted to do a song that encompassed like science fiction aliens that didn't have to do with Star Trek or Star Wars, just so I could kind of have a catch-all song for a whole bunch of stuff covered under one umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, where it's at, Men in Black, it's not punning, but it's sort of a similar sound. I'd almost call it not really slant rhyming, more like, you know, assonance, I guess, because they're similar vowel sounds. But
I've never heard of assonance.
Yeah, it's like there's alliteration. That's when you're using multiple consonant sounds over again.
Uh-huh.
Assonance is when you're using the same vowel sounds over and over again.
Assonites is a front runner for the title of this podcast.
Assonites?
Assonites, like asinine.
Oh, I get it. And then I think probably the best example of a forced parody by me, ironically, with the word force in the title, would be Use the Force. My parody of Public Enemy's Give It Up about Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. I was so damn desperate to be the first person who had a song about Episode I after actually having seen the movie. I don't know why I felt this Public Enemy song, which it was a lead single from their album Music and Our Message. And I don't know why I thought that held enough water in the general public's ears for it to be the right song for me to plan in advance to parody.
Yeah.
So that Daniel had the music ready so that I could see the movie, write the song in a day, and then go record it. You know, I don't know why, you know, it's you know, not the worst song in the world, but it is probably my worst Star Wars song.
Yeah.
You know, and Dr. Demento played it once, it made the Funny Five once, and then, you know, it was kind of forgotten about. I haven't performed it too much since Worst Album Ever came out, and I didn't really need to, or if I wasn't in a situation where I had to do all of my Star Wars material. So, yeah, so that...
But Bill Putt's in it, isn't he?
Yeah, Bill Putt came out, and he was cool enough to join me for seeing the films, and he got a little vocal cameo. Now it's much easier to get people to do cameos,
yeah,
with the technology and the internet and all that stuff. So those are all the main ones that of mine past that I consider forced parodies.
You might want to like graze over the maybe list.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's what I.
So long.
The maybe list is My Name Is Fred, which is a parody of My Name Is Mud by Primus, and I almost consider that more of an exercise than me trying to, you know, make a hit song. It was more like, it's, you know, Fred and Mud don't exactly rhyme, but they both end in D. And it was the drumming thing that repeats all through the song. And my brain, you know, you heard the yabba-dabba-doo, and, mm-hmm. you know, so in that, it doesn't completely qualify as a forced parody, but overall, it's like, why am I doing a song about the fucking Flintstones? Why? You know? You know, especially after Al did, Al did Bedrock Anthem. You know, it's completely unnecessary. Anyway, Hump a Hound was based on one joke said by Butthead in an episode of Beavis and Butthead, where they were watching the song humping around by Bobby Brown, and Butthead goes, "Are you talking about humping a hound?" So then me and Jason thought we should do a parody of Jump Around called Hump a Hound, and then worked in a bunch of Beavis and Butthead references. And once again, it was just a throwaway song we did just for fun, but it did help me crystallize my rap parody writing method of copying trying to copy syncopated things, but most importantly, putting the rhymes where the rhymes are in the original song.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole... On Mario Kart, when I drive, when I dart, I smoke more carts than there are in a Walmart parking lot. Sure enough, he got shot by a heat-seeking red shell. You're sucking a brat. Writing that run of lyrics helped me figure out, like, oh, that's how I should do this.
That's one of your favorite lyrics of yours, isn't it?
Yes. In fact, I worked it into the God Hates Comedy Musicians thing.
I know.
Because I'm like, oh, that would be so cool if I brought in that old school lyric. So, and especially since Mario Kart Wii exists, Mario Kart is still relevant.
Yeah.
Jacobi, which I'm lumping in with the older songs because that's when I wrote it back in pre-Uber Geek days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rockabye, Jacobi, it's almost wordplay, but again, it was just me trying to find an excuse to have Jack Nicholson rip on a bunch of, you know,
yeah,
actors.
It's pretty forced.
Yeah. John Archer, the more I thought about it, the more I can't really defend it as it not being a forced parody. I guess that my only really real defense is the fact that, you know, I ain't happy, you know, I'm the captain, you know, it's that sort of, you know, similar sounding. And the fact that in the song they say the phrase fucking Enterprise, which I changed into funky Enterprise.
Yeah.
So the word Enterprise is in there, and it's about the show Enterprise. So, you know, that you know. And then the Spongy Dance, which is the most recent of these, I was banking on the SpongeBob SquarePants full-length animated feature film being like a monster hit. Which is, you know, why I was gunning to get that song out. Plus, you know, SpongeBob's popular. SpongeBob is still popular.
Yeah.
You know.
But the movie wasn't, like, a huge hit.
Yeah. I like the movie a lot, but it wasn't a huge hit. I mean, this Spongy Band still made number 4 on Dr. Demento's countdown for the Funny 25 that
year.
So.
And I made a plankton thumb puppet.
Yes, you did, which I still have amongst my props in the basement. So, And I wanted to at least mention or cop to, there are probably some of the individual components of Grease Wars and Fanboy Christmases might be forced parodies. I didn't have the time to go back and get that analytical, but, you know. And then I wanted to pose the question to you, Carrie. Is Light a forced parody in your opinion?
I don't know. I have to be, like, looking at the lyrics.
It is a situation where I really wanted to do a song about Big Bang Theory, and I had made myself a master list of, here's a bunch of old school rap songs I never got around to parodying that I would like to, and I drew a line between Rapper's Delight and the Big Bang Theory, because Rapper's Delight has this whole kind of notion of like, hey, we're just a bunch of guys hanging around and we're doing our thing, blah blah blah, and to me that kind of seemed like I could draw a parallel between that and the four guys from Big Bang Theory. Especially when I got the idea of the whole rock band, you know, plot, like that somehow,
yeah.
That somehow solidified it a bit more in my head, and it made more sense to do the song this way. So
that's kind of a stretch.
So anyway, Carrie, we took some quick notes before the show so that you could talk about songs that were potentially maybe forced parodies.
Well, I have ones that are definitely forced parodies. Definitely Any Watcher Dude, which is a parody of Steely Dan's Any Major Dude. And I happen to have the instrumental to Any Major Dude that my dad had whipped up for my 27th birthday party. And we performed Any Major Dude at my 27th birthday party. So I already had this instrumental. So I was basically on a bus on the way to go record things at Jared Ringgold's house. And I'm like, I am going to record a parody of this song, damn it. And I was really into Buffy at the time, so I'm watching it on DVD and stuff. So Any Watcher Dude resulted, and it's definitely not one of my best songs. But the other definitely forced parody would be Stupid as Charged, which this came about after I was in the basement at Northeastern Illinois University, and they were playing MTVU, which is MTV University, I don't know, and they were playing actual music videos. And they played a music video of course, Guilty as Charged by the Gym Class Heroes. And it's a great video. It's all this, like, you know, like, parody of, like, blaxploitation films and stuff. You should really check out the video on YouTube. But the song itself was also really catchy, and it just, you know, I started writing it down, like, okay, you know, Guilty as Charged, Gym Class Heroes, oh my god, you know, OMGs, it's a current song, and I've decided I'm going to parody this. And parody it I did. I'm pretty sure it was Bob Emmett that did the music for that, and I basically had the instrumental. I was already paying for the instrumental before I knew what the parody was going to be. And I was, like, on the way home from Con on the Cob with my rhyming dictionary, just, like, trying, like, everything in the book. I think I probably had 40 or 50 possibilities for, you know, rhyming the main chorus, you know, parodying the main chorus before I finally settled on a song that was, you know, inspired by News of the Stupid. So that was incredibly forced parody.
Well, okay, so the original, how did the chorus lyrics of the original go?
I don't remember most of them. I guess I'm guilty till proven innocent. And kind of goes
and
on with
that. So are over all the lyrics of the songs having to do with someone who is guilty or, you know,
yeah,
in a police incarceration kind of way or what?
Yeah, I guess like kind yeah, not really, but kind
of. Well, to me, it seems like most of the stories on News of the Stupid are about people who are breaking the law in stupid ways
yeah.
and are getting arrested. So for you to draw a parallel between, you know, guilty as charged with stupid as charged, I think, you know, is a parallel or is a connection. You know
I think
what I mean?
It wasn't until, like, the last minute when I did name it stupid as charged, but I really struggled with that bridge and what words to use in that bridge. And, like, I had a whole nother set of words that I was using in the original recording, and then I just came to the conclusion that it was stupid and horrible and it didn't work, and then that's when it just became me singing the word stupid as charged over and over again.
I think it works.
I don't remember what I was originally singing there. I don't know if you do. You put a question mark by reeling in the grease. I don't know, that... To me, you know, it's hard for me to say that's forced because, like, it came to me so quickly and I wrote everything down on,
well,
like, one bus ride.
It's like reeling in the grease. It's almost like any song that has to do with food almost gets a pass, you know, because that's kind of such a standard, especially with Al having, you know, done Eat It and Fat. It's almost like any song that's about food, I mean, hell, he has a whole album of songs about food, but,
yeah,
you know, reeling in the years, reeling in the grease, I don't know. In any case, it's still a well-done song, but I felt I should write it down.
And you wrote down Sleepwalking Zombies, which definitely doesn't have the wordplay thing going for it, as the original song is entitled My Dad's Gone Crazy by Eminem,
yeah.
featuring his daughter Haley Jade. it was kind of a weird, it was a very odd progression of how that song came about, because it was originally... I had some sort of idea of a sketch between me and Aaron and some sort of bedtime story thing and how, you know, she didn't want to go to bed because she wanted to stay up all night like Mommy and Daddy do. And I really don't remember that idea very well, obviously. But it just, like, sort of morphed and, like slowly in some sort of liquid television goopy kind of way into... Sleepwalking Zombies, and, like, most of the rest of the song was written before, like, I finally settled on, okay, this... I don't even think I completely settled on it, even when we were recording it, that Sleepwalking Zombies was going to be the hook and the title and everything. But, you know, there was nothing else cute that Aaron had said in our recording session that I could have repeated.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah, it's like, it's hard for me to... You know, there isn't wordplay, and I can't directly draw any parallels or perpendiculars to Eminem's song. But yet, I still think it's a very well-made song, and,
well,
and you know,
they both have an adult and a kid in them.
Yes, yes. But and I really like what you did with the original version, where he's like, "It's like my mom always told me," and then you took it like the Charlie Brown thing. It's like my teachers always told me. Wah, 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 wah.
Really, you like that part?
Yes.
That's like my least favorite part of that whole song.
And you have the sample of
because what I was doing is like, I felt like I was being lazy because I said wah 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 for longer than what Eminem says his thing for. Because
I don't think so.
I did because I couldn't think of rhymes and a parody line for what else he was saying there. So I just had my thing just go on even longer than his did.
Well, anyway,
what else were you saying?
The sample of Charlie Brown saying "Oh brother," which I believe is from the Christmas special, I think I used that in Snoopy the Dog. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
I know I at least recorded it for potential use. I can't remember if it ended up in the song or not. But
that song anyway. that song only became awesome like at the very last second when Jarrett Ringgold stepped up. Like I think
oh, yeah.
you asked him for me or something. I don't remember.
You were trying to get a beat together, and I asked.
I just
Jared
wanted a beat.
He...
I wasn't trying to do a really
yeah.
like quality parody. I just wanted, you know, a nice
yeah.
hip hop beat.
And I'd like touch base with Jared. I'm like, she needs help with the beat, you know. And I didn't have, at least I felt what I had in my disposal wouldn't come up with something that I felt was adequate, and I asked Jared for help, and then Jared was wonderful enough to step up and just do the whole thing.
Yeah.
It came out super kick-ass, so...
Yeah, so that ended up kind of a song origins when we weren't really going for that.
Yeah.
I also remember having to, like... It was early in my relationship with Josh, but I had to, like, kick him out on, like, an entire weekend. And I'm like, no, I'm writing this song. We can't hang out. And it hurt me as much as it hurt him, but I'm like, there's no other way this song is going to get done in time. And
yeah.
I just, like, forced myself to write for hours, and it worked. Hazy Shade of Killer. I don't know. I just like the sound of that song, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the song sounds... freaking stellar. I mean, that song sounds amazing. I was just trying to, I guess once again, I really don't know the lyrics of Hazy Shade of Winter enough to know if there's a plot to it that parallels the,
it,
you know.
It
the,
doesn't
the,
have a plot. It's a plotless okay. song.
So, you know, it's, I just, you know, like I said, I felt that one kind of qualified. I thought, and just to wrap this up, before we started recording, and Carrie was looking at this list. She wanted to put Reckon by the Book on the list. I'm like, are you kidding? You took a beloved internet meme song about cake that is good and wrote it about cake that is bad.
But
that is the perfect thing to
misunderstood, you know, when you're writing down forced parodies having not explained it to me yet.
Yeah.
Because to me, like, I felt that was a forced parody because I already had the instrumental that Chris Metzelesta
made for
me.
Oh, okay, you meant forced, like, well, I have
to
do it now.
I'm like,
okay.
Well, you know, it's here, I should do something with it, and I happen to, you know, really enjoy the Cake Rex blog and check in on it every day, so...
So, yeah, the point being, voice parodies is like trying to take a square block and shove it through a round hole and still make it work, and... Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, and that's why the majority of those songs didn't make it onto Greatest Hits Volume 1.
and now something that has nothing to do with forced parodies. It's not a parody.
It's not a parody, but it is an awesome song, and it does tie into songwriting, and it ties into things that Carrie likes, because Carrie likes songs that describe themselves as they go along, and this song is a form of that. So I don't know if you've heard
it. I always meant to have a whole show on Dementia Radio, a theme show of songs that describe themselves. And actually, I was doing it one night, and like everything went fuck sword with fucking Winamp, and that show got fucked, and so it didn't happen. So it never happened. But yeah.
Are you still always busy on Thursday night?
Not in the summers.
Okay.
Well,
if you ever want to, you know, join me for an episode of Dementia Revolution and you know, take over the playlist and take over the show, you're welcome to.
Well, there's probably a reason why I haven't tried to do something like that, you know, and that's because it requires effort. Also, I don't really have entire access to my actual music collection because... The external drive that it's on hasn't worked since we've moved.
I'm writing something down.
Luke's writing something down.
Okay, so, anyway, here it is from the album The Very Last Songs That We'll Ever Write, Part 1. Mike Furman with Clear the Floor.
Yeah. You ready to move? I am too. Here we go.
Come on. Gonna get your body rocking. Gonna make you move with this. Ooh. Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I'm not too crazy about this beat right here. Do you think that we could just start over? Yeah, I'm giving up on this beat. The snare comes in way too soon. And the bass ain't pumping. No, the bass ain't right at all. I'm giving up on this beat. It just didn't come together. No one will be jumping when they play this at the club. No, I'm just not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. No, I'm just not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. You better turn it off or else we're gonna clear the floor. Gonna clear the dance floor. This song's gonna clear the dance floor. Walk away.
a really awkward breakdown. I totally lost the beat, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. How long has this song been going on? 3 minutes, 4 minutes,
a minute and a half.
Are you kidding me? I'm giving up on this beat. Sounds like the drum machine is acting up. Try turning it off and turning it back on. Nope, still sounds bad. I'm still just not feeling it.
No way.
I'm just not feeling it. I'm still just not feeling it. You know it's not too late to quit.
And now it's time for
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spices at DevoSpice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess the stupid, so proven innocent, cause it makes it so to me that you incriminate.
This story is submitted by Andre Tessier. Police in Dayton, Ohio say a man robbed a bank and then tried to flee on board a public bus, where officers eventually caught up with him. Dayton Police Sergeant Mo Perez tells the Dayton Daily News the suspect got away with cash from a downtown KeyBank branch at about 10 a.m. Police were told by witnesses that they saw the man catch a bus about two blocks away. Officers followed the route of the bus and pulled it over less than a mile away, near the campus of Sinclair Community College. Perez says the suspect was arrested without incident and the money was recovered. Looks like this guy was busted. Get it? Because he was on a bus and, yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay.
This story submitted by Pamela Neary. 37-year-old Ricardo Jones in San Antonio, Texas, got so mad over a 50-cent price increase of a Taco Bell Beefy Crunch burrito that he shot an air gun at the restaurant manager, 41-year-old Brian Tillerson. He then paid for the 7 burritos and went out to the parking lot while Tillerson called the authorities. Jones also displayed a semi-automatic assault rifle and pistol while in Taco Bell's parking lot. When the police arrived, Jones barricaded himself in a Roadway Inn motel and proceeded to exchange fire with police officers and engaging SWAT negotiators in a more than 3-hour standoff, finally surrendering after officials used tear gas to get him out of the motel. He was charged with 2 felony counts of aggravated assault and is facing up to 20 years in prison, all over having to pay an extra $3.50 for some burritos. Man, when Texas does a remake of Les Miserables, they go all out. So don't mess with Texas. Thank you. Drive through.
This story submitted by Elizabeth Carnes. Hundreds of people at dozens of Commonwealth Bank branches around Sydney and Melbourne, Australia, queued up to 30 deep after social media sites went haywire with reports the bank's ATMs were giving out free money. Customers with a few dollars in their accounts were suddenly able to withdraw hundreds, and as they texted and tweeted their unexpected windfalls, the crowds quickly grew. People were running past me screaming, "Free money! Free money!" Punchbowl pharmacy manager Frere Zakia said of the people using a nearby ATM. Everyone was so happy. They were running around with huge smiles. But, like most free things, it was too good to be true. Here's Carrie Dalby, field reporter, with the rest of the story.
Bank spokesman Brian Fitzgerald said the trouble began when the bank attempted to perform a maintenance update on its computer system overnight. A technical glitch forced the bank to put all of their ATM machines into offline mode. Customers had no access to their account balance, but were still able to withdraw money, more than their accounts held. By noon, it meant people could withdraw any amount up to their daily limit, regardless of how much money they had in the bank. Those withdrawal limits are up to $2,000 a day for holders of key cards and debit MasterCards. The technical glitch has since been repaired. Police soon warned people caught withdrawing more than they owned would be traced and could face up to 10 years in jail for fraud. "No one has received free cash," Mr. Fitzgerald said. "What they've done is overdrawn their accounts. We will be following these people and recovering that money."
How to speak Australian?
"Hey, the ATM is giving away free money. Hurry, get as much of it as you can. Free money, free money."
Retirement plan. Commonwealth, Australian for banks.
This story submitted by Kyle Hudson. A 48-year-old West Suburban Naperville, Illinois man never met his online Nigerian girlfriend, but he didn't mind sending her cash, about $200,000 since 2008. The unnamed Naperville man told police he started the online courtship about 2.5 years ago. Since the relationship began, he's wired about $200,000 to her at bank accounts in Nigeria, Malaysia, England, and the United States. The Naperville Sun reports that the man had an ID from the woman that was a sample driver's license from Florida. The jig was up this week when the man contacted police to ask for their help in rescuing the woman, who he said had been kidnapped in London. Police say the man was in disbelief when an officer told him his girlfriend didn't exist.
How to speak Nigerian?
"Officer, you gotta help me. My online girlfriend, who I've never met, who I've sent $200,000 to over the past 2.5 years, is kidnapped. Can you help me plan the ransom drop-off?"
Dumbass! Illinois, Nigerian for boneheads.
And finally, this story submitted by Kyle Hudson. A 21-year-old intoxicated Chickasha, Oklahoma man tried to shoplift a chainsaw from a local business Wednesday by concealing the chainsaw down his pants. Anthony Darren Black was charged in Grady County District Court with one felony charge of knowingly concealing stolen property and three misdemeanor charges, assault and battery, larceny of merchandise from a retailer, and public intoxication. "I was told that Black dropped the chainsaw while running. I arrived and found Black hiding from employees in the water of Lion Creek," police officer Jason Mirko reported. "I had Black exit the water and I could smell an odor that I associate with an alcoholic beverage coming from Black's person and breath. Black was also unsteady on his feet." Black possibly faces up to 5 years in prison.
How to speak Oklahoman?
"I'll just tuck these down my Levi's here and I'm good to go. Achoo!"
Circumcision. The South. American for ignorant. People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
"Yeah, I've got a chainsaw." Everybody say it with me.
In my pants!
This has been News of the Stupid. Sketch.
So, I have a list here of random shit we could maybe talk about, and we'll just start talking and do some of them.
Okay, do the most important one first.
Yes. We've been putting these off for so long, I can't remember what specifically led to this, but I had a bunch of money that was cash from either a weekend of caricatures or a convention or something. I had to go deposit it at a bank. And, you know what? I think it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so it must have been the money I made at the one in Milwaukee. Anyway.
I must have been in D.C. at that time, then.
Yes. So I was like, man, I want to deposit this cash. I guess I'll just head over to one of those Chase Bank ATMs where you can deposit the cash at the ATM, because those are nifty. When I got to the bank, because I happened to be over near Gulf Mill Mall, I went to that branch, and when I pulled in, I noticed, oh, there's actually people in the bank. That's odd. I guess I'll just go inside and deposit it to an actual teller, because that's what I usually like to do when I have that much cash.
Yeah.
And the bank is, in fact, open for realsies. So I walk inside the bank, and there's some dude there, and he's like, you know, I think I had my earbuds in for my Zen player listening to some podcast at that moment. And he had obviously said something to me along the lines of, you know, hi, welcome to the bank, or hi, how can I help you today, or whatever. And I just, you know, kind of nodded and says, oh, I'm just here to deposit some cash, and just kept walking by him and went to the little desky area in front of where the tellers are to start filling out my form.
Uh-huh.
And so I start filling out my form, and then suddenly, like, some other bank employee woman comes up to me, and she's like, oh, he can help you with this over here. And she's, like, pointing back to the guy I just walked by, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I grab my cash, and he takes me back to one of those little cubicles where the, you know,
yeah,
bank specialists are, you know, not where the tellers are.
Yeah.
So he's like sitting me down. So what brings you into the bank today? And this woman is just kind of hovering nearby, and I'm like, oh, I'm just here to deposit some cash. He's like, oh, well, let's take a look at your account, and we can see how you can best maximize on blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, and I suddenly realize, oh, crap. They've turned Martin Luther King Jr. Day into new employee training day, you know, and kind of ambushing people as they walk in, so that instead of me being able to walk in, deposit my cash, and walk out, I have to now sit here as this guy goes through a mental checklist of all the different things he needs to ask me about, so that he can maximize my account and, you know, well, did you do this? Well, did you know? And, like, the woman kept kind of coming in and, like, saying, you know, like, helping him out or giving him pointers or just even talking to me like, oh, so what do you do for a living? And, like, trying to keep everything all nice and positive and happy. And I was
I guess they expected fewer people to show up because it's Martin Luther King Day.
I guess, but it was just so, like, you know, and I'm trying to be nice, and I'm in my brain, I'm just screaming, I just wanted to deposit my money and leave!
Yeah.
I had other things I had on my to-do list that afternoon. I can't remember what they are now, but it was just, you know, I had to kind of suffer through all of that just so I could deposit my money and then go. It's like, I should have just went to the drive-thru to one of the machines. I would have gotten out of there quicker.
And meanwhile, I was eating delicious Nando's.
Yes. So you were full of winning and I was full of losing at that moment, if we were to put it in Charlie Sheen terms. So that's one thing. Another thing, I'm kind of wondering if the entire world has changed when it comes to etiquette at drive-thru windows, or if it's just the one specific KFC location I go to. But I seem to have noticed lately, let's leave the fact that I eat too much fast food as a separate issue from this.
Okay. I go through Starbucks drive-thrus.
So I've noticed lately at drive-thrus, and sometimes it's because they have the little, some, like, especially McDonald's, a lot of them now have, like, the screen that says you order blah, 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 and then the price, the amount you're paying, appears on the screen so that you see it.
Yeah,
so they don't,
which
always
is helpful.
They don't always say, oh, that'll be $7.62, sir, because they don't need to, because they know you're seeing it, but it's probably just good business for them to actually audibly say that as well. So at the KFC over on Elmhurst Road, which is nearest to me, they don't have a screen.
Uh-huh.
And I've noticed in the past several months, they have completely stopped telling me how much my total is before I pull up. In fact, they don't even they rarely even tell me to pull up anymore. It's like, is that all? It's like, you know, that's all. And then, like, it'll be like a super long pause, after which they'll say, like, you know, you can pull up, or, you know, drive through or whatever. But they never tell me what the amount is before I get to the window anymore.
Yeah, a lot of times they don't tell me either when I'm ordering at Starbucks or wherever I may be.
So
it's not always. I mean, sometimes they do.
So that's just bizarre. So I'm curious if anybody else in the world is experiencing that, where they no longer audibly tell you what your amount is before you pull up to the window, even if they, you know, I mean, if they have a screen, then it's like, fine, they have a screen so you can see it. But if they don't have a screen and they aren't telling you how much it is before you pull up, I think that's kind of, it's almost like a weird form of entrapment. It's like, what if you, like in Weird Al's song, Trapped in the Drive-Thru, what if you discover you don't have enough money on you for that amount, and then you got to scramble to fix everything while you're at the window? There could be people waiting behind you. It would be more inconvenient. So.
Yeah, so, I've noticed that too.
So the flip side of this is at the same KFC location, one day, for whatever reason, I actually went inside to order from the desk.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one employee there, this dude, I don't remember his name at all, but I walked up, and there was somebody else in line in front of me finishing up his order, and then he got his stuff, and the guy's like, you know, the customer grabs his stuff, goes to leave, like, thank you very much. And the guy, the employee went, no, no, thank you.
It was smart-ass.
It was weird because it didn't seem like sarcastic. It seemed genuine. If it was sarcastic, this guy's been training himself for years to not sound sarcastic. But so he talks. I order my food, and he's really all talkative and nice and stuff like that. And then I get my order, and I get done, and I pay him, and I'm like, all right, thanks a lot. And he goes, no, no, thank you. And it was just like, what weird KFC Twilight Zone have I stepped into?
He reminds me of the really overly friendly guy at my old Dunkin' Donuts.
It's like he... No, go ahead.
The only time he wasn't friendly was I had my choir dress with me or something, because I was going to go straight to choir after work or whatever, and I, you know, wasn't driving, so I had to carry everything around with me. So I, like, hung the dress on the door of the, like, cooler where they have the, like, bottled sodas and milks and OJs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, could you please move that? It's hindering the access to my customers or something like that. And this guy's, like, 19. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was funny.
So,
but other than that, he was like always like really ridiculously over friendly, but and, chipper.
To me, the guy at KFC kind of seemed like you know, like some guy worked as a doorman at the Waldorf Astoria for, you know, for 25 years and was the best doorman in the world, and suddenly he is now in Chicagoland working at a KFC, and he's like keeping it at that level of you know, snooty courteousness, like no, no, thank you, you know.
Weird.
Or he didn't say it in that tone of voice, but I'm just kind of like, you know, adding the emphasis of, like, he specifically said, no, no, thank you. So, anyway.
I don't know that I'm not, like, you know, super satisfied lady at my day job or anything, but I don't know that I miss working with the public. I remember one time when I was having too much problems with my wrists at Target, they had me to be a greeter like they have at Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
That was the worst thing ever, Luke, because I'm not that person that can be friendly and, like, act like they care about people. I was, like, the last person in the whole fucking building that should have been doing that. So funny.
Like, yeah. To me,
hi, have a nice day, you know? It's like having Daria do it.
To me, the worst thing is when I was forced to as they call it, hustle people at Worlds of Fun in Kansas City when I was a caricature artist, when I first learned how to do it, you know, whatever it was, 15 years ago, was like, you know, that whole thing where if you walk anywhere within, you know, 15 to 20 feet of a caricature stand, some, you know, dude like leaps out at you like, you know, hey, how you doing? Want to get a character done? You can get yourself drawn as a big multiple body her in a sexy bikini. Come on, just sit right down. It'll take a few minutes. It's like you're trying to, you know, hypnotize them with you know, the speed of a friggin', you know, auctioneer to, you know, hi, I'm saying words, don't even think about it. Just come and sit down right here, and then I'm going to draw you, and then you're going to give me a lot of money, way more than you should probably pay for something like this, and then you're going to go away. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, god damn, I hated having to do that, and I was forced to. They literally made me do it.
Yeah.
And even when I went to hang out with Adam English a couple summers ago, whenever that was, summer of 07, was it? Yeah, because that was the year Big Conspiracy came out. Damn, that was a long time ago. It was like he was, you know, in the same position. He's training all these new people to work at his place, and he's of that old school thing. So he's like, oh, come on, you got to hustle people. He wasn't quite as adamant about it as the people who
Adam
I worked
wasn't
for.
Adamant about it?
No, he was not.
Okay.
Nor was he randonant about it.
Oh, God, we're just clever.
Meta humor. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least he let me kind of, you know, I'd be, you know, the last time I was like, you know, would you like to get a drawing done? I'll be your best friend. I'll mow your lawn. You know, I had kind of my own shticks I do. And then this one day I happened to have the monkey puppet on me. So just to be goofy, because I was trying to crack up some of the other, you know, people that worked at the stand. It's like I brought the monkey puppet out and I'm doing the British accent. It's like, hello!
Get the caricature done! I shall mow your lawn! You know, yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah, I had to try to sell things at a couple of my jobs, and, yeah, again, Daria.
Yeah.
Not the person you want selling your product.
All right, so let me get to at least this one more thing, and then we'll decide whether or not to go on with more or get to the next song. So my grandmother, to say my father's mother, whose first name was Wanda, as a child we called her Nana, and she died a long time ago. I'm trying to remember. I mean, she wasn't at me and Steph's wedding, so this was, you know...
Over 10 years ago.
Yeah. So sometime in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, her nickname was Nana, and whenever there was a birthday celebration that involved Nana and being there,
uh-huh.
And I think this kind of ended up extending itself to other relatives of the immediate family birthday parties, but I know that the source of this was her. So we'd sing, you know, everyone sings the happy birthday song around the cake. Happy birthday to you, blah, blah, blah. So we get to that last part. Then there's a whole other part of the song that she would sing and we all would sing. And it's one of those things where it just was always there growing up, to the point where for me to go to other kids' birthday parties and hear them not sing it, I'm like, where's the other part of the song?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think... You probably haven't experienced it just because you didn't, you know... ever since Nana passed away, I think we kind of, you know, retired saying it because... But anyway, I'm going to sing it because I want to find out if anyone out there listening has ever heard of this bizarre coda to the birthday song.
Okay.
That is it something that came from Poland or something that I don't know about? It rhymes in English. So, and here's the other thing. It's in 3-4 tempo, or, you know, that kind of oom-pa-pa kind of thing, just slowed down.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, so let's pretend it. And happy birthday to you. Birthdays come but once a year. May we make this message clear. Happy birthday, Carrie dear. Happy birthday till next year. Yay! And then that's the end of the song.
Well, I've heard birthdays come but once a year is a familiar phrase to
yeah.
me. But, you know, no, I don't really recognize the yeah. whole thing there.
So it's like, yeah, it was like this mass collective. Everyone in our family knew this and was like, yes, this is the normal thing to do.
Yeah.
But nowhere else in the world have I ever heard that song. Never in a movie, never in a TV show, never in anywhere. You know, has there ever been those
Actually, I think
notes?
It's Christmas comes but once a year is the phrase that rings a bell.
Christmas comes
birthdays.
But once a year. Maybe, I don't know. If there's a Christmas thing that has that same tempo, but they just kind of wrote parody lyrics to it, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
But even...
Did you ever try Googling birthdays come but once a year?
I never thought to Google those. Maybe I will do that.
JFGI.
During the song break.
Yeah.
So anyway. So we're about 90 minutes into the podcast. Should we just move on to the next song and then the outro stuff?
We could. What do you want to do?
Well, we haven't pointed out the fact yet that our last episode was literally our longest episode ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to force people to listen to us yammer. Because some of our discussions that we had in so far have already gone longer than I thought
they
would.
Well, we're not forcing them to yammer. We're not, like, going to their cubicles and, like, putting headphones on their heads and starting the iPods and chaining them in and saying, "You must listen!" It's not quite like that. If you're listening to us yammering, that's probably by choice. Okay, and on that note, what's the next song?
The next song is by Devo Spice from his album Gnome Sane. OMG.
OMGs. It will be out by the next time we have a podcast.
Yes.
So you almost go to iTunes on April 1st and purchase Gnome Sane.
Yes, and we'll be playing the promo after the song so that they can get all the details.
Yep.
So that we don't have to say them. Yay, less work for us!
Yay!
So here is Devo Spice with a new song that is not written by Weird Al. It's called Weird Al Didn't Write This Song.
I've got all the porn I can get, so now I'm searching around the net for some Metallica albums I haven't downloaded yet. They've had more misses than hits lately and greatly gone soft, but I do it just because I know it pisses them off. I go on another hunt and check another locale for stuff I want and find a folder titled Older Weird Al. It's news to me, but here's an early Billy Joel parody by Buggery called It's Still Just a Hole to Me. Believe me when I tell you the shock value astounds. It's a catchy little ditty using crappy MIDI sounds recorded by a team working in a machine shop, and the singer sounds like William Hung gargling a mop. How could anyone think Al had this done? Oh, right, the average IQ online is 81, so I give up. I don't even try to understand why these songs are written by this Wired All Yankovic guy.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
Nuh-uh.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
No way.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
He never sing about how to use a fish as a pawn. Come on.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
Nuh-uh.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
No way.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
But he did do a movie with the Long Duck Dong.
What's happening, hot stuff?
Stupid! You're so stupid!
First of all, let's talk about the spelling of weird. It's W-E-I-R-D. See, just to be clear, the I before E thing doesn't apply, because weird is just a weird word. That's why. His full name is Alfred, not Alan or Alex. But it's not a secret like that guy who's fighting the Daleks. If you have trouble recollecting his name, there's a game. Imagine him preparing dinner for a young Bruce Wayne. But really, you don't even need to know that bit. His name is Al. Call him Al. A-L, and that's it. His name is two letters long, but I included in this song because a disturbingly large number of people get it wrong. Finally, let's talk about his last name. It drives me insane. Singing Yankovic should be profane. If you can't spell his name, I'ma show you how. Now it's Yankovic with a C. There's no H. Say it with me now. There is no H in Yankovic. Say it. There is no H in Yankovic. Again. There is no H in Yankovic. Louder.
There is no H in Yankovic. Weird Al didn't write this song.
Uh-uh.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
No way.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
And he's never been on stage in high heels and a thong.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
Uh-uh.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
No way.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
It was me who wrote the tribute to the size of my schlong.
Hey, yo, Devo Spice, I'ma let you finish, but Sea Monkey writes the best wiener parodies ever. I'm just saying.
Because the song is funny doesn't mean it's done by Alan. Everyone I come upon threatens to give me a grimal. Does the same lack of knowledge make it back to other tracks? Just because the song sucks doesn't mean it's Nickelback. Yet every parody I see is credited wrong, as if he and only he can change the words to a song. The file sharing sites are uncaring how they store it. I'm still working on the song and I just found a torrent for it. Al works clean, so that should be your first clue that he didn't write the song about
an elephant.
And hello mada, hello fada, just in case there's any doubt. In fact, no, he didn't write it, he was when it came out. Lots of other people write parodies too, and you can hear them on the funk every month when we do, like Spaff and Robert Lund, Steve Goody, Luke Skeet, Dynamite, Project Sisyphus, and oh yeah, me!
Weird Al didn't write this song.
Nuh-uh.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
No way.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
I don't care what the credits say, the credits are wrong.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
Nuh-uh.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
No way.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
You may think that it was Al, but it was me all along.
Hey, Devo, have you heard that track, Inner Voice, by Adam Sandler? It's hilarious.
Oh, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. I wrote that song with Worm Quartet in 2005. Number one song on the Dr. Demento show. And I can't even get miscredited to Al. It has to go to Adam Sandler. Jeez, what am I going to do?
Hey everyone, this is Devo Spice, and if you're not familiar with my music, I have been called the redheaded stepson of Weird Al Yankovic and Eminem. I record comedy rap songs, and in 2005 became the most requested artist of the year on the nationally syndicated Dr. Demento show.
Just listen to the voice in your head, and he'll say, that people
We're full of toys. Go get some.
Yeah.
Then, in 2007, I made history on the show by not only having the number one most requested song of the year, but numbers 2 and 4 as well.
But I can't make a damn phone call. Can you hear me now?
What the hell did he say?
Can you hear me?
Now, in 2011, I'm back with a new album called Gnome Sane.
Many in bed by 10. Just watch the news, then do it again. Man, I hate Mondays.
Gnome Sane will be released on April 1st and will feature almost 70 minutes of music, including Platform Wars, the hit song from the Dr. Demento show.
Hello, I'm a Mac, and I'm a PC.
Hello, I'm a Mac,
and I'm a PC, and I run all the best games in the industry.
Well, I got games too, dude. What's with the greed? I can run Snoot, that's all I really need.
What about...
Buy the album on iTunes on April 1st, and I will send you the physical CD of Gnome Sane absolutely free. Additionally, I will send you the bonus CD, Namine, absolutely free. Namine will contain an additional 13 tracks, 45 minutes of music, and the only way to get it is to order Gnome Sane on iTunes on April 1st.
Computer ain't nothing but a geek thing, baby. Like two boys drooling over daisy.
For details on this special offer, visit DevoSpice.com, and don't forget to buy my album on iTunes on April 1st. Know what I'm saying?
Help. Click on help. Call someone else.
Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself.
What's Luke plugging now?
Yeah. What's at the fump? What's at that fump?
Nah, mean.
You can listen to, download, and enjoy. There's a Goobloat in my Zorch by TV's Kyle. Charlie Sheen by Power Salad. Where Would I Be Without Me, Charlie Sheen Edition by Steve Goody. Nuff Liquor by Dino Mike. I Want to Be Your Hugh Hefner by Robert London Spaff. Snoopy the Dog by the great Luke Ski. Cook Up a Little Bit of Love by Flat 29. And Hula Hoop by Nuclear Bubble Wrap.
LukeSki.com at the store. What can you get there? You can get Luke and Carrie's Bad Report Best of 2010 2 CD set. We need to update the total sales. As you may recall, how many had we sold as of our last episode was...
Four.
Now that we have been, you know, fully promoting it over the past 2 weeks, I am proud to say we are up to 7. two online MP3 versions and one CD version, which I need to drop in the mail. So thank you for to all of our fans who have nearly doubled our sales over the past 2 weeks.
I bet you'll sell a bunch at Mid-South.
I hope so.
Knocking on wood.
Yes. Yeah. So please go to LukeSki.com, and I do have links there on the main page. I've also added links at BadReport.com in the right sidebar to the MP3 version and the CD version. So either one of those will take you to the place where you could pick it up, and we'll have a little bit more on that later in the show. ArtByLukeSki.com. You can hire me for caricature parties in the Chicago tri-state area and beyond if you're willing to pay for my travel. So go to ArtByLukeSki.com for details on that. The Dr. Demento show is awesome. You should listen to it and make requests at drdemento.com. And you could request songs like Jabba Jive by Carrie Dalby.
Or Snoopy the Dog by the great Luke Ski.
Or songs by Flat 29, because they also are awesome. So
it's podcast masturbation time.
Yes. what was I saying? Yeah, tour dates. This weekend I will be at Mid-South Con 29 in Memphis at the Hilton Memphis Hotel, Tennessee. March 25th to 27th, 2011. MidSouthCon.org is the website for that. Rob Balder will also be in attendance. Steve Goody and Nuclear Bubble Wrap will be there doing some live comedy music there. So come check us out. I forgot to put this on the outline, but we should also at least mention PenguinCon is coming up in the near future. There's going to be a whole huge mess of comedy music artists at PenguinCon. Go to PenguinCon.org. It's at the end of April. It's basically becoming... You know, the third leg of the tripod of conventions that feature comedy music regularly.
And I probably won't be there.
We'll wait and see. So, what shade of pink are you wearing, Carrie?
You mean besides my cake pop pink hoodie? Well, I'm wearing a so pink it's almost white shirt that says "Chicks Dig Comedy Bands." And on the back it says Raymond and Scum.
Woo!
I'm also wearing new pink Dreamcatcher earrings that I got in Flagstaff. They're light pink. And I can't really look at them to describe the pink in any more detail. And then I'm wearing a glittery, gorgeous pink bracelet that I bought at the Pinal County Fair with some letters on it. And those letters spell a word. And that word is a word that Luke is going to read when he's not writing things down.
It says dementia.
Yes. I have a
sweet
rainbow-colored kind of multicolored bracelet now that says the word dementia in big block letters, and the base of the bracelet is pink because you could have them to make any word you wanted, and I'm not the kind of person that needs to wear her name on some jewelry. So,
well, that's very cool.
Yep.
So a couple of short ignorant stories. Standing there at Ed DeBevick's, a young kid, I don't know, maybe 10 to 12, is looking at my caricature sign and says, did you draw all of these? And I say, yes. And he goes, wow, you should be a professional. Yes, I should. It reminds me of Adam English's song Ocean of Idiots, where it's from that same sketched out CD I mentioned in a previous episode.
Yeah.
Where it's just a kind of a, the song is just a string of typical comments people make, and one of the, I think the final verse ends with the phrase, you're real good at this cartoon thing, you should do this for a living. But he like screams it like punk, you should do. Yeah, so
we should definitely play that sometime as the last song of the show.
Yeah,
not this show, but
yeah, not
some
this show.
Show.
Another typical question. There's nothing really witty about this, but of course, somebody's like, somewhat interested in getting a drawing done, and asks me, if you draw it, do I have to get it? And I'm, yes, you have to get it. And I don't think that person came back, but it's just like, in my opinion, if you don't have enough, if you've looked at my work on my board and, and even more so, seen me draw other people, and you don't have enough confidence in me, look with all that evidence in front of you that I am going to have the ability to do a good drawing of you you're going to like, then screw you. I don't want your business. I'm not going to draw shit for you for free, and then let you decide whether or not you're going to pay for it. I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's that. Time for comments.
Comments go at the end of the show.
Yay!
Because Queen Carrie says so. Arkel says, dang, you guys would have to put that best of CD out while I'm still unemployed, wouldn't you? Winky face. Yes, it was specifically because of that.
Yes, we wanted to make you feel inadequate financially. That was the whole point. DJ Particle says, now you know what I go through every year when I compile clips for the annual Revenge Anniversary show.
Winky face.
Winky face.
We have two winky faces in a row now.
Word.
Luke Ski says, and this is the first time we've ever read Luke Ski's comment on Luke Ski's podcast. I just wanted to say that I feel getting beaten for belching in this episode was unwarranted because the belch was completely inaudible. The point of Carrie's objection to burping was based on people hearing them on the podcast. Hence, inaudible burps don't justify beatings. That is all. Well, Luke Ski, wherever you are, I just wanted just so you know, I could hear it, and I wasn't aware that the mic didn't pick that one up.
That's why I was in shock for a minute or two, or a second or two after you did that, because I was just like talking, and then I stopped and like, did the inaudible or barely audible belch just to get it out of me, because it wasn't something I was trying to accentuate. I was trying to continue with my thought.
Dude.
So I was just like talking. Talking, smack! And I just looked at you and I'm like, what the hell was that for? And I just had to compose myself for a second. You're like, no belching. I'm like, ugh.
No belching! There.
When? I didn't even belch just now.
See? You're in shock that I hit you. Why should you be in shock that I hit you?
It's so unfair that it's socially unacceptable for me to hit you back.
No, it's not.
I couldn't hit you back anyway.
Why? Is your arm broken?
No, because you're so damn dainty.
Go to hell! hell and die, bitch.
Computer King says, wow, Carrie sure likes to beat people up, doesn't she? But she mentioned the villainous verse on the Fump Sideshow, so it's okay by me.
So if anyone else wants me to do any more plugging of your stuff so that I can have an excuse to beat Luke more, just let me know and I'll plug away. Squirrel Girl says, yay, I got mentioned on your podcast. It's so cool hearing you talk about your con experience and being able to picture it because I was actually there. That's totally a reason to go to more cons in the future, smiley face.
Okay. Wildcard says, this was definitely the smoothest that the music track ran that I remember. God may hate comedy musicians, but the musicians are learning how to get around the problems. Excellent job, Luke, especially since you got some downtime during the con. Carrie's Plants vs. Zombies performance was a highlight of Sunday.
Yay!
I agree with that.
Sunflower.
Jace says, sorry about the balloons. We should have helped clean those up. I'll definitely stick around to help with that next time, as well as tell audience members to get a few when they leave. Rob told us he was also surprised as how overstated the bus features were. Oh well, it does seem like he plans to do it next year anyhow, super big smiley face. Oh, you get to read the big long one.
Or do you want to read it? You can read it if you want.
I like reading things.
All right, you read things.
Insane Ian says, another great show, guys. A few comments. Carrie, you have as much as a lisp as I do. It's not always noticeable, but occasionally a word or two will pop up where you will hear it. I have the same problem, but probably worse than you. Bit of an ego bit here, but whatever. I get jealous of my music friend when my music friends get mentioned in songs and I don't. I heard two songs this weekend which named some of my peers and did not name me. Weird Al didn't write this song and Could It Be You. I know I haven't been around as long as the acts mentioned or am as well known, but I guess it is my dream. I guess my dream is to one day be known enough to be mentioned in a song. How would you say anime smiley face?
I don't know. That would be it.
I think
that face would be an anime face of contentment.
Speaking of me, wow, ego much? I enjoy that the podcast this week has my name in it, thanks to being the meme of the con, as well as the final report on News of the Stupid. But my concert was one of the least amounts of comment. Damn you, Sunday afternoon. Obviously, I'm only being pseudo-egotistical and miffed, and I'm grateful you guys even associate with me, let alone mention me on your podcast, but I gotta do something to get you guys to tell me to shut up. Your pal, Ian, anime contentment face. P.S. Oh, Space Cow Vibrator, the Art Paul cover band, opening for Scooter Picnic. Win.
And then Arkel says, Ian, you wrote egotistical instead of egotistical.
Insane Ian says, I know, it's where I feel the ego resides in men, anime contentment face. And so you can leave a comment on badreport.com and see what I will call your particular emoticon.
Yes. Why did it sign me out of that? Now I need to pull up the voice comments. I think Ian did his best MarsCon performance to date at MarsCon this year.
I think he did too, except I missed a bunch of it. Sunday afternoon does suck, though. I'm sorry. It is a sucky time to have the concert.
Well,
everybody was out of it.
Okay, so if things are set up here the way they're supposed to be, here's a comment.
Okay.
Hey, Luke and Carrie, this is Draconis. Thought you'd like to know there's a free newspaper that you can get for strange and funny news in its own way called The Onion. If you've ever gone to their website or seen The Onion movie, you'll basically know what the newspaper is. If you want, I'll send you one, Luke. So let me know. Later.
Yeah, I've been reading The Onion newspaper for a number of years, actually.
Yes, The Onion started in Madison, Wisconsin, and that was the first city where you could get it for free in all kinds of locations in the downtown area. So yes, we are fully aware of the existence of The Onion.
I used to,
you know,
I used to walk by a box every week where I was able to pick one up every week at Jefferson Park in Chicago. So I haven't had the actual print newspaper of it in a while, but I do subscribe to the podcast version. And occasionally see their videos and other things online.
Yes, and the Onion movie is very funny. You should check that out. Oh, and they have a TV show.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
They have a TV show on comedy. Well, they have one TV show on IFC, which I don't watch because I don't have IFC, which is basically kind of meant to be a nightly news report version of the Onion. And, you know, from the clips I've seen of it, it looks really hilarious. But they have a sports version on Comedy Central called Onion Sports Dome. And even though I'm not a fan of sports, it's still a really funny, really well-written show that they have once a week. It's kind of like Sports Center, but everything is all done in an Onion style.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So here is the other voicemail we got this week.
Hey, Luke. Oops. Hey, Luke. Hey, Carrie. It's Breakman Z here from Dementia Radio. First off, I gotta say, love the show, and my first time actually calling in, so there you go. Secondly, just have my own little MarsCon memory to share here, and I put it in song. I have a sad story to tell you. It may hurt your feelings a bit. At MarsCon, the bus fuel fell over. We all stopped in our tracks and said, we're all out of beer. The coolers are empty. You don't have to leave. There's plenty of soda. What? You mean that's not how it's supposed to go? Oh, well. Lastly, I gotta say, as one of the four people that purchased the Bad Report CD, I love it. Luke, you did a great job clipping out some of the best parts of the first 31 episodes. So, yeah, I definitely urge people to buy it. Be amused by Luke! He did all that work! Don't make him think it was all for nothing! Okay, bye.
That was a very accurate impression of Luke.
Yes. And on his...
One of the best I've ever heard, actually.
On Dementia Radio, on Breakman Z's show, he did play a handful of clips the other night.
Yay!
So if you go to LiveJournal back a few days, you can see which clips... I just told him to play whichever ones he felt were funniest, and you can see which ones those were.
Someday I'll actually come across my copy of the CDs and actually listen to them myself.
Were you given one?
Yeah, I took one, but I'm not sure what I did with it. I don't know that I actually have it.
Okay.
But I did pay for them, so I guess I can take a second one if I need to.
Okay. If you would like to make voice comments, you can do so by dialing 916-585-3754. That's 916-LUKESKI, just like Draconis and Breakman Z did. You can also make comment for us.
Hey!
You can also make comments for us at badreport.com. BADRAPPORT.com. You can also leave us an iTunes review or give us a star rating. Nobody did that this week, but you can do it in the future.
It's option available to you.
That's how time works. Yay, linear things.
And we got the Facebook dealio thing.
Oh yeah, I forgot to make a note of that. Our Facebook page is now officially facebook.com/badreport.
Does that mean we actually got 100 fans, or did they just lower the required number of fans?
Something like that. We have 89 fans last time I checked.
Okay.
So if you have not yet become a fan of Bad Report or liked Bad Report, whatever they call it now, on Facebook, please go to facebook.com/badreport and do so.
Yay!
On the same token, I also have facebook.com/thegreatlukeski. So that's my page now, which has like 744 people. So 744 people like me, but only 89 people like the podcast that I do.
I wonder if I can get / Carrie Dalby now. Well, I think that might actually go to my actual page, though.
Facebook.com/. Well, yeah, that is a good point.
Because I signed up for a URL, and that's most likely what it was.
Well, you might be able to make it something like, you know, Carrie Dalby Music or something like that. You know. Anyway.
We'll see.
Anyway,
that,
so
you can go search my name on Facebook and you can like me. I think there's about 70-ish people that do.
Yes.
So I'm only 10% as good as Luke Ski. Come on.
So, well, yeah, that was the comment I was going to make. The comment regarding comments for the next episode. We had our big-ass long discussion earlier on forced parodies. So I wanted to put it out there to the fans of me and Carrie, too. But,
and the other artists.
Well, let me fit. It's a two-part statement.
Let me finish.
The part for the fans is, if there are songs of mine that you think are forced parodies and you want to call me out on it, leave comments letting me know what those songs are, and
keeping
then I will.
Keeping in mind that he doesn't take criticism well, and he will defend.
Well,
his
no,
song.
That's what I was about to say. Is that if you think, well, what about this? This seems like a forced parody. Then I will defend myself.
He will explain why you are wrong.
Yes, or I will give a really lame explanation, and you'll say that's bullshit. The other person is right, and then I will be shamed.
Yeah.
Shamed. So
I would like to shame you more. We need more Luke shaming on this podcast.
So yeah, so that was the side of this I was aiming more at the fans. The side of this I was aiming more at the fellow funny music artists who happen to listen to this show. If you have any songs from your own repertoires that you think qualify as a forced parody, as I defined it earlier in this episode, I'd be curious for you to leave messages saying, like, oh yeah, back in the day I did this and such a song that I felt was a forced parody. So just to get some a few other colleagues, you know, deprecating themselves on our podcast, you know, when they're not busy releasing albums on iTunes on April 1st.
And now we do have to promote the artist of the final song of the show. Spider,
yes.
There's a horrible spider on your door.
Well, that doesn't change the fact that we need to raise breast cancer awareness and funds. What does that have to do with that?
I don't know. I just thought you would go kill it.
I'm not going to kill a spider. I'm not a mean person. I don't go violently smacking anything near me when I happen to not like what it does, unlike some people.
But spiders can be deadly.
Are you going to not let us finish this episode while that spider is still there?
Baby. This is the spider killing song, and it isn't very long. Luke started killing the spider, and it started running away, and this is the definition of a forced parody. This is the killing spider song. I don't think he got the spider. I think it ran away and that it's gonna live again. And then it's going to mutate into a superhero. This is the killing spider song. Just smush it. He's very gentle with the spiders. I guess he has a secret love of spiders. I guess that would explain Peter Parker and, you know... Don't make me vamp! This is impossible! This is the worst episode ever!
I had to let the spider free.
Oh god, he let the spider free. Are you that compassionate to the plight of the spider?
So...
To smush you the way you should have smushed that spider!
So,
Carrie Dolby, talk about this, since you're so fond of talking.
Well, you guys should go to theboobles.com, B-O-O-B-L-E-S, and order their first album, which is an album, and it's all parodies of the Beatles songs about boobs, and it's all money gonna go towards breast cancer stuff, charities. Not sure which ones, but... Totally breast cancer charity all the way. So order your copy of the Pink album at theboobles.com and it's very good. And Luke was supposed to appear on a thing, but his thing got cut.
Actually, it's theboobles.org.
Ah, God damn it.
Yeah, and I had there was a track me and Chris Mazalesta recorded along with Dan of Flat 29.
Don't go to theboobles.com because it's probably porn.
Okay.
Go to theboobles.org.
So, theboobles.org to pick up your copy of the Pink album, which is awesome, and I'm playing this track because Carrie had said somewhere that she thought it was really awesome, and I haven't heard it yet.
And Rich and Charlie are in it.
Cool. So, that wraps up this episode of Bad Rapport. Anything else you'd like to say?
Utensil.
Okay. So, with that in mind, I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And this has been Luke and Carrie's...
Bad Rapport.
Talk to you next time.
Yay!
Unless you're a spider and Carrie will kill you.
Listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
He is our hero.
Spider.
Get rid of
Spider.
Step on Spider.
Spider.
We love you, Spider.
I promise not to kill you.
Spider.
Spider.
Get rid of
Spider.
Must stop
Spider.
He is our hero.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916 Luke Ski.